Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we have now, Lord, as we come into thy presence, to sit under thy feet, O Lord, and learn of you. Father, for the next hour or so, we ask for your presence to be with us, Lord. Open our heart to receive and understand just a little. Study, O Lord, of the period of the church age, the age of man. We ask the Lord your presence be here and guide us through, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may visit it. And let us look at the chart. Alright, today we are going into Smyrna, church age. And just take an image of this chart in your mind. Alright? And always remember that we are trying to use Brother Branham's year that he used here. But as I said, I do not agree with that year, those years that he picked up from Karl Larkins. Because there's no overlapping, there's no transition of period. And I would rather go into history and take those years that actually tell you about a transition period of time, some overlapping, 10, 20 years, or perhaps even a couple of years, whatever it may be, as the church moved from one age to another. So, of course, it's 170 to 312. And it's interesting to know why 312 here, because we will see later in the other chart. But here we have the overlapping of the age from Ephesus, 120 up here to 10 or 100, overlapping as the transition took place here. Alright, and it ends at 325 on the history, most historian world, as sort of every chart over the transition of the age, alright? Okay, and here we have, of course, God's manner, and the messenger of God is Arrhenius, alright? Okay, let us go to the book of Revelation now, chapter 2. We want to read that text there, just 5 verses or 4 verses. Verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things say the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them they which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear not of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that he may be tried, and that you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Hear the heaven, hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Alright, the meaning of the word Smyrna. It comes from the Greek word of the word myrrh. Alright, which means bitter. And myrrh is a herb that is used also in embalming the dead. So, smyrna means bitterness, suffering, pain, death. Things that will lead to death. So this is the age, smyrna is the age of suffering. It is, now let us look anyway at the map of Patmos. And we will see where Smyrna is. At least you have an idea where Smyrna is. Alright. If you look at this map, you will see the 7 churches in Asia as we look through the Bible, the way that it is listed. Exactly, it just go out from Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and then Laodicea. So it goes up this way and comes down like this. Alright? So Smyrna is right at the Gulf of Smyrna Gulf. It's an ancient city, as we all know, but it is not called Smyrna today. It is called Ismi. Alright? And of course, this place, of course, today, this area here, of course, is known as, this area here is known as Turkey. Alright? It is one of the most prominent cities of Asia Minor. Of course, next to the two other cities, that's Pergamon, or Pergamos, and Ephesus. And here we have is that Smyrna is a city of high education. And it's just a well-known city of today that people will like, you know, Philadelphia or New York, where people go to those big cities for education. And that was what Smyrna, kind of city was back in those days. It was a great commercial center, and there are many Jews living there. But those Jews that who live there, they hate the Christian. They hate Christianity and all, totally. Alright. Now we have there in this Smyrna city lots of pagan temples. And because there's a lot of pagans, because we know that this is the period where the Roman rule, having the Roman already brought with them all those other religions from, you know, Middle Persia, and the Grecians also, you know, have their own gods that they have created, and the Roman Empire was then existent at that time. So the Roman Empire embraces a lot of pagan gods. Alright? And they have temples like Zeus, and I think that those of you who knows, and of course probably popular by movies, and you have Hercules, you have Zeus, you have Athena, right? Some of these gods that you have probably heard of in those games that some of you play on the computer. But Zeus, being that he was a great god, Greek god, he was not a Roman god. It was a Greek god, but he was very much worshipped by the Romans. Especially there are some emperor like Augustus Caesar. He embraced Zeus very much. And Zeus was the god or the king of gods. He was the big guy. Alright, and so they built a big temple for him there. And he has a place called Mount Olympus, where we have these Olympic Games borrowed from that name. Alright? And Zeus is known as the god of the skies and the thunder. And the Romans worship Zeus as Jupiter. They don't call him Zeus, but they call him Jupiter. Now, there are other gods which I think many of you probably know. Hercules, you know Hercules. Hercules is not really a true god, supposed to be a, what we call, demigod. Alright, his father is a god and the mother is an earthly woman, you know, the god came down and father or son through earthly woman. So we have Athena, we have Cybele, we have Hermes, we have Eros, and we have Perseus, Dionysus, and I think there's probably as many gods as the Indian people in India. Alright. Now, what's interesting that in the city there, of Smyrna, the Romans have built a street called the Golden Street. In between, they connect, rather, the temple of Zeus to a temple of a goddess called Cybele. Alright? Of course, Cybele happened to be the Earth Mother, represent Earth Mother. Well, of course, today, there are a lot of people that call Earth Mother God. Mother Earth, sorry. They call it Mother Earth. So Cybele is the Earth Mother, the goddess of nature and wild animals. And so this golden street sort of connecting Zeus, the heavenly, to the earthly. And we see the spiritual and the physical. We see the what we call the politics, or we call religion and state. Alright? We have seen how we can see that in the Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church, how they embraced the heavenly and the earthly through using Mary as being the mother of God. So all this we see, what we see in the scripture, the people of the world, the pagan, would also use those symbols. Many times we all know that in the book of the Old Testament, we see a lot of symbols, right? Even the book of Revelation, a lot of symbols. And we see that the pagans are also using the same symbols. And so much so, of course, if you ever see some documentary, they try to, some of these documents, what we call the people who make this documentary film, they are not Christian. They do not believe in God. And many times they try to discredit the Bible and Christianity. And in one that I saw, they were saying that the Bible copied from many ancient scripts. you know. And because why? They trace those, well, they know how old the Bible, when the Bible was written. And then they trace those ancient scripture from other pagan nation, and said that they are older than the Bible. So the Moses must have copied some of those things into the Bible, you see. But the problem is that these people, like I said, sometimes they're so intellectually stupid. And the very fact is that before the Bible was written, before any manuscript was written, back in the days before the flood, how do people communicate? They hardly even write. They communicate by words, verbal. Right? And if they write on anything in those days, they don't even have papyrus like we have in the days of the Egyptians. Back in those days before the flood, many of them, what they have, they write on clay. Dry clay, and that's why you can see all those the cuneiforms, you know, what we call Paleo-Hebrew, how they were write in those days. So, writing on tablets and all these are not very common. But what happened was that they all passed down through verbal oral communication. So what is communicated, what communication was handed down after what we call Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, left the garden, and population began to multiply. Right? And then we have this communication that is passed down. As God talked to the patriarch, they know, they all communicate before anything was written. But as communication hands down and people begin to migrate and they build a city, I mean after the flood, they continue to speak and then they write. But of course when the populations of people begin to migrate, one to a group to one place, another group to another place, those who left the true faith of Yahweh, they will probably have written down what they know. And they put it in their own way and to what they want to believe. Just like the Bible has revealed in the book of Genesis, where the sons of men, okay, they call, and the Bible said, they call upon the name of the Lord. Remember? The Kenites. They call upon the name of the Lord, which we know and realize that they are invoking the name of Yahweh upon the idols. Do you remember that? Okay, so when, so in writing what they wrote on the whatever, you know, manuscript by the time that they have, whether it's a leaf or clay or whatever, they would also use their own writing in such a way to put the name of God upon their idols, and they come up with their own teaching somewhat that they have learned and heard. And so by the time, how many hundreds of years later, when Moses sat down to write, of course he wrote as God inspired him to write. And his writing would have some similarity of what those people write. You understand what I'm saying? Because these people are twisting the word of God into their own, what we call, making of their own religion. So they have something that they are in common back before the flood. And even after the flood. Is that right? Sure. You see. So that is the way we see things, that when we look at how the Roman worship their God, the Greek, you know, there are some similarity. Why they use symbols? So these golden streets that connect Zeus temple to the temple of the goddess Cybele. And we know that in the Bible we have in the book of Revelation the golden streets. Right? Sure. And on both sides, of course, instead of temple, we have trees. The tree of life grow on both sides. Alright. So just to know, to show you that in Smyrna, it is not just a city of great commerce and high education, but it is also a city where there are a lot of religious people. Be it the Grecians, be it the Romans, be it the Jew or the Christian. But there are a lot of temples out there, and you can see that with the minority of Christians living there, having to face all these pagans out there, and also having to face the Jew who hated Christianity. So there was great tension and strife between the Christian and those who worshipped the pagan gods, alright, not only just facing the Jewish persecution. Now, as you look into history, in the church before Smyrna was Ephesus. After Pentecost, some 20 years later, we see the tares already appear. Alright? And after a while, 20 years later, when the Tesla appeared, we realized that the church sort of lost the leading of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost leadership is not really upon many believers. And you can just see what we see today in the church of Laodicea. We will look at the churches out there, the many churches out there. Many of the churches we can see, the leadership of the Holy Spirit is not there. It's more of the leadership of men. It's all about programs. It's all about popularity. It's all about making money. It's all about entertaining, giving the people a good time, bring them to church. Yeah, at least let them know the gospel and so on and so forth. These are all man-made programs, or rather than instead of letting the Holy Spirit lead them. And that's why the church of Laodicea is a church where the flock or the elect of God or the true saints of God becomes very small. It kind of shrinked. And so the same thing in the early church started. After tares was sown 20 years later, we can see when the tares came in, there's a lack of enthusiasm of many Christians. And to faith, because why? There's a lot of persecution and pressure from the outside. And so just imagine them, by the time the smaller church came in, we already have a lot of man-made creeds and dogmas and man-made rituals. Alright, and here by the time it comes into the age of Smyrna. Now, we know we're talking about the age, but yet the period that we have on the chart, 100 to 325 AD, or 170 to 312 AD, depends on if we take whichever date. During that period of time, it wasn't very far from those early apostles, right? Some 300 years only, isn't it? Or the last apostle died, it's only about 200 years. So there is still a change of connection. Because the messenger that we have, a brother Abraham picked, was Irenaeus. Irenaeus, being that he was a messenger that God used, he was a follower of Polycarp. And Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John. So there is a connection. So it isn't very far that they have lost track of, you know, of the early apostle. You see. So, Polycarp was a disciple of John the Apostle. And Polycarp had disciples or followers, and one of them was Irenaeus. Okay? So, now, during that time in Smyrna, as Polycarp battled against all these heretics and all these strange doctrine coming, tares coming in, you know, mimic rituals coming in, and then after he died, Irenaeus took over. And we see by that time, there's so much persecution already. There's a lot of... The pagans just hated Christianity, especially the Roman. The Roman even put out, you know, such a great persecution against the Christian. So this was an age, for about 200 years. It was an age where the Christian really suffered. Alright? Now, not only that, they were not only just put into death at the stake or thrown into the amphitheater. Now, let's look at the picture of this, the what we call the same thing thrown into the amphitheater. Now, this is a very common picture that many people have seen. Right? Now imagine that you are one of them out here. Now this probably our family or relatives or believer all together, probably a small little group they were taken. And they were thrown there in this amphitheater, okay, in Rome. And that's probably Olympus, Mount Olympus or somewhere up there. And there were tens of thousands of people up there. 30,000-40,000 people. This is a big theater, huh? Where people would just want to be entertained by the chariot race that you see in the movie called Ben-Hur, Oh, they just get excited when news went out that, wow, they are going to be Christian, being fed to the lion, to the tiger, to the bear, whatever wild beast they could lay hand on. And so they bring all these believers out there, Christians out there, and they release lions, tigers, but not just one. I mean, this guy could not eat all of that. That's a lot of food there, isn't it? So, there are more than that. A pack of lions, or, you know, that will be released. So how do you feel if you are one of them? Now, I'm pointing these out as a fact about what we read into history, the great suffering of the Christian. Today, it seems that Christians have it easy. Here in Singapore, we have it easy. Perhaps in America, they have it easy. Perhaps you're out there in New Zealand, Australia, have it easy. But Iran, or Iran, a lot of suffering out there. Huh? Isn't it? Syria, they have the same problem. Egypt, yes. Nigeria, if you see what's happening out there in Nigeria, you know, this has been very, it was recently only that they just bomb up a church where they are young, either children having Sunday school or something, and some 30 of 14 or something died. Yeah. So you just imagine. Are you afraid of that? That's a question I always say. You know, I always think of this thing. What is life? Huh? So, they were thrown out there and let the lion loose, a wild beast loose to eat them up. Terrible, isn't it? Just terrible. It's one thing to get your head cut off, or to get a gun and shoot your head, or take a spear and pierce into your heart, but let the lion come towards you. And they attack you. Ripped you apart, perhaps limb by limb or whatever. Terrible, isn't it? But these are them. Now, not only that, there were many of these who were put to death, but time and on and off, but many of them, they lost their properties. They had their properties confiscated by the empire. They were enslaved, abused, and tortured in many ways. So now, the only thing is this, when the great persecution comes, as you go on later, when the great persecution comes in the 10 days, that 10 days are 10 years. When that great persecution comes, you know what happened? The only true test whether you are a Christian or not. Alright? Because there are perhaps neighbor who don't like the neighbor and they are not Christian, the neighbor will lie and say they are Christian. So the only true test to come to see whether they are Christian or not Christian is, according to history, is to apply to them whether they would throw a few grains of incense into the fire as a sacrifice to the Roman Emperor, or whether they would refuse. You know, the Roman Emperor, they act like they are king, like some kind of god, isn't it? Right? They are some kind of god. So, if you are a Christian, would you throw some grains of incense into the fire to say that you bow down to the Roman Emperor, or would you not? If you would not burn the incense, you'll be taken, and that's the end of you. If you want to escape death, you do that, you deny the Lord. And you know the consequences of such a denial. You have crossed the line of no return. Hebrews chapter 6. Remember that. Alright. Now the Jewish population there, when we look into the scripture right here now, let me just give you a background first before I go. The Jewish population, they hate the Christian, and they frequently wreck upon them, you know, to the Roman authorities. And because they are conspirators, they want to gain the emperor's favor. Alright? And of course, you know, the Jew would not bow down to the emperor, but they would become conspirators to inform and give information to the Roman authorities as to who are the Christians out there. So now, when we look at this, we see that the Hebrew, the children of Israel, what happened? When they were out there after they came out of Egypt, they had a tabernacle where they get around. They have, they have the Torah, we would say. They have the Word of God. They have the temple. Even after the wandering, they possess the land, they build a temple. Even unto the day of Jesus Christ, they have the temple. You know, is that right? But before they were taken captive by the Babylon, of a Babylonian, and also by the Assyrian, they had this great, beautiful temple of Solomon. Right? Beautiful temple of Solomon. They had the word, they had the temple, and they have a priesthood. But when they went into captivity, into the Assyrian empire, when they were taken by the Assyrian northern nation, the southern were taken by the Babylonian. Okay, after a few hundred years, they came back to Jerusalem. Well, they restored the temple back. You have it. But what happened to the priesthood? They don't really have a priesthood, actually. What do they have? They have, rabbis. And many of these Pharisees, they said it is not necessary for us to have a temple. We can have synagogue in every city. So the temple then lost its grandeur of the children of Israel going to the temple and worship. They rather said, I'll just go to one of these synagogues. So when they came out of the captivity, they lost the temple. Okay? And they lost the word. They came up with what we have called Talmud, which is the oral tradition. You know, yeah, they say they have the Torah, yeah, but they take the tradition of the elders more than they would the Torah. They lost the priesthood, they replace it with the rabbis. You know, so this is what we see in Israel. And what do you think the church, what happened to the church? In one way or another, the church has been through the same. You see, instead of the Word of God, right, they have Christian dogmas. Isn't that right? And instead of the true ministry of God, they have man-ordained ministry. You know. And instead of the church of God being led by the Spirit, which of course constitutes the real thing, the temple of God, or the church of God, the body of Christ, what do they have? They build buildings. And see, the building itself is the church. So, there is always the similarity because of what happened in Israel, the church did the same. Alright? Now, John had a disciple named Polycarp. And he was a very prominent preacher. He was the first bishop of Smyrna. And Polycarp was something like estimated by a historian that he was about 25 to 30 years old when John the Apostle died. So he was quite a young man then. And Polycarp himself lived after he was martyred. He died in 156 AD. Then when he died, of course he died in Smyrna. How did he die? He was tied to a stake in an amphitheater. Because remember, Polycarp was a very prominent figure in the church. He's very articulative, and he fought against the system. He fought against corruption. And so he was taken and seized and put to a stake to be burned. And so, when he was there in the amphitheater, and who collected the firewood? Interestingly, it was the Jew. The Jew wanted to appeased the emperor. And it was a Sunday, it was a Sabbath day. It was a Sabbath day when the death of Polycarp took place. And who brought those firewood? The Jew. They would break the Sabbath and go and collect firewood. Now you just imagine what kind of Jews are these. This is what we read in verse 9. You see here, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say that they are Jews and are not, but they are the synagogue of Satan. So, I mean, what is a true Jew? A true Jew would not have done this thing. But these are bastards. They are of the synagogue of Satan. The Bible called them synagogue of Satan. Now, it's not even using the temple of Satan, using the synagogue. Because you can see them from the usage of the word synagogue, that is to say, after they came back, you know, from their captivities, and you see the whole thing changed. They no longer really kept, they really have the Torah. As you know, in the day of Jesus Christ, the Pharisees, the rabbis, they always used the word, the elder of the traditions of the elder. They would use the word of their elders. They were oral, passed down teaching, which have no basis in the Torah. Like the washing of hands and the washing of cockeries. You know. You know, I don't know where, you know when the Jew pray, okay, when the Muslim pray, where do they face? What direction do they face?
Because
they face Mecca. When the Jew pray, what direction do they pray? Huh? They face Jerusalem. Okay, more or less, not all Jews really do that. But if you have this teaching that you have to face Jerusalem, is that somewhere, something that you get it from the teaching of Moses? Or the prophet? That you have to face Jerusalem? So why, if it's true that the Muslim face Mecca, okay, that's the teaching. If the Jew face Jerusalem, that's okay, that's what they believe, that's not in their Torah. And what do the Christian face? When you pray, what do you face? What do you face? Face the Vatican City? Of course not. Would you face Jerusalem? No. So what do you face? Now we worship here. At home you face the AA Center? No, you don't do that. So what do we Christian face? Huh? What do we face? Anyway, we should look up. Anyway, that's the thing. Uh-huh, isn't it? We looked up to Mount Zion where cometh our help, which is spiritual. Oh, which is heavenly. You see. So, you see, how did the Jews, these are not true Jews at all. They are not really Orthodox in the sense that they really are serious. You see, they came up with their own teaching, and they are people who will compromise. Just like many Christians today, they will compromise. Now, don't compromise with the Word of God. Your life is how you live the life, okay, as a Christian, must reflect the characters of Christ, the Word. We want to live the way God wants us to live according to this example, not only set by Jesus Christ, but by His apostles, His prophets, the saints of all whose footprint has been on the sand of time for us, all out there in the holy, well, the Bible map book. The Bible is your map. And there you can see all, you know, today you want to go someplace, you use the GPS to follow where to go, huh? The Bible is our roadmap, right? You can see the footprints of all the saints of old, right? And that's the example they walk for us and we follow. You see? But, of course, not all Christians are Christian, not all Jews are, not all Israel are all Israel. That's the same thing, alright? What happened in Israel is the same, the church is doing the same. You see? But these are the synagogue of sinners. They will do anything to keep their faith that they have created, keep their life, okay, by breaking the word of God even on a Sabbath day to go and collect firewood to burn Polycarp. You know. And they burn him at the amphitheater. Just imagine that. Now, as to the messenger Irenaeus, he was born round about the year 125 AD. In Smyrna, and he was a follower of Polycarp, who was a follower of Apostle John, and he was the bishop of the church in Lyon, France. Now where is France? France is on the western side. That is Eastern Europe, Turkey, alright? This is called Eastern, where Smyrna is considered the Eastern side of Europe. So, France is all the west, so it's not very far from Smyrna. So Irenaeus was born in Smyrna. Okay, after the death of Polycarp, he was there for a while and then he went and became the bishop of the church in Lyon, France. When I was there in Lyon, France, in the convention, The brother was telling me, said, oh, now we are Brother Gan, this is Leon, this is where Uranus Wong. I said, oh, okay. Uranus Wong, please. Okay. And interestingly, in the history of the life of Polycarp, it says that his church was in France, had spiritual gift. Now, he was not very far. This is about 200. Now, the last apostle died was John, about 100 years AD. And this is 100 plus. Okay? Nearly 200. So he's only, not even 100 years, that Irenaeus had the truth transmitted down to him from John, apostle, through his master, all right, or his rabbi, Polycarp, to him. So he knew about the Godhead. And he's very firmly established in fighting anyone who come out with all that nonsensical teaching about the Godhead. All right? And his church had spiritual gift. And what we call it, the power of the Holy Spirit did not die out completely. But only that there was a lot, it was diminished because a lot of churches in that time of Irenaeus, many Christians would say they lost their insight into the life of Christ, into the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because many perhaps were fearful of death, perhaps they were just wanting to remain nominal, like we have Christians today. We just say, oh, I'm a Christian, oh, I don't go into doctrines, this is not important, that's not important. And so that's the way the Christian would be at that time too. But for those that are very much in love with the Word and of God, they really have those churches that he oversees. Now, Irenaeus was a messenger at that period of time with the message. But all the other churches around about, you heard the message. Many of them are not like him. Remember, like we have the message of in this last day, alright? Brother Graham sent with the message. How many churches believe in the message that he preached? No. But those who believe in the message and saw the truth, they come back to the Word of God, and that's why we build ourselves into it and grow into that life. But those who reject the truth, they are not coming into the Word and grow into that life. You see? So only what we see, according to history, his churches that he passed in France, there are many spiritual gifts, and they have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And he was against organization. He was against anybody who tried to organize. Especially, he's very afraid of. Very aware of how that the elders, the deacons, and whatever, you know, they were trying to form into an organization. Now, just like today, we have the Presbyterian Church. Now, the Presbyterian Church, why do they call themselves Presbyterian Church? Because they believe in elders. They do not believe in pastor. But yet, over time, they happen to be a head pastor. So it's just like bishop. Well, we know the elders are bishop. But then, there will be someone who comes up and says, I'm the chief, become the archbishop. And that's the reason we have this problem. The Anglican Church, you have the archbishop over the bishop. You see? And this is necolity. Alright? This is a system where you don't find the Bible. Nobody is an archbishop, apostles, or anything like that. No such thing. And he was very much against it, any of this form. So he will maintain the Word of God in its original as far as you know how, in that period of time. Alright? So, now verse 9. It says in verse 9 here, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Now apparently, of course, in this age of that time, they had done wonderful work. Alright? As far as the Word of God is concerned, they held him very strongly. Yeah? And then the people would go out there and bear the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are not afraid to die. Okay, now, in speaking of this message for the church, for that church age at that time, it's not everyone who call themselves Christians are here. It's only speaking to those that are true. Okay? I know your works and tribulation and poverty. Oh, yes. Once they do not accept the Romans' condition before the great persecution came in 302 AD. Alright? Before this Diocletian, that's how the American pronounce Diocletian. In English, it would be Diocletian. Before this emperor came into power and passed the edict to go out there and kill all the Christians in 302 or 303, rather in the month of February, when it was completely passed and people just, the Roman soldiers just ran out there and hunt every Christian and kill them. Alright? But there were already a lot of persecution. A lot of people hated the Christian. You know? And I think today there's the same in many countries. A lot of Muslims, they don't like the Christian. You know, I don't know whether it's called a Shiite group or the Shiite. What do we have here in Singapore? We have the Sunni. Is it the Sunni, the tame one, or the Shiite, the tame one?
Sunni.
Sunni is the tame one. So those out there, you see that very extreme. They will persecute the Christian. So he don't say the same thing. The Jew will persecute the pagan, who are very staunch in their idol worship. They will persecute the Christian. But the Christian remained and holding fast to the word of God, and you know, as the Bible says, show me your faith and I'll show you my faith with my work. Is that right? So the work is that you're willing to, what the Bible says, and you shall be witnesses, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you shall be witnesses unto me, right? What is witnesses? I told you the word witness means martyr. You must be willing to hold to the word witness and die for it. And this is exactly those Christians in that age. They are willing to die for it because they have received the Holy Spirit. And therefore, having the Holy Spirit in their life, they are witness of the truth and they are willing to testify even if you have to die for it. You see, that's why Jesus said, I know your works and your tribulation and poverty. They are poor because their poverty was taken away from them. They practically had nothing. And many Christians probably, you know, probably looking for food, scavenging for food. Now, mind you, remember this. These are things happened in history. And we look into it, what we do with it today. They set the example for us. Remember? They set the example for us. Not in this man and age, but in Pergamos, Thyatira, and all the way down. Alright? So anytime you refuse to bow down and worship, there is this, they call this imperial, a group called the imperial cult, known as the Concilia. Okay? And they were really enforcing emperor worship. They keep on telling the people, you must worship the emperor. Actually, I don't think the emperor himself wanted to be worshipped, but there's some, this cultic group, they'll come out to enforce them. So those who refuse, of course, they have no right to buy and sell. You don't have property, they take away from you. You want to buy, nobody want to sell it to you. Hey, think about this. What happened in the future? This is going to happen in the future. You don't take the mark of the beast. You don't have the right to buy and sell. Okay? And they could not get good job. Maybe some neighbor will give them some job, but you want to find a good job, nobody wants you. Alright? And so, they were more or less rejected by the population. Let us go to the book of John 16:33. So, without properties, without job, so they were much in suffering. So, John chapter 16, verse 33. And we read here, these things I have spoken unto you, Jesus said, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Aye. Well, this verse, I think, Jesus said, you say, oh, it's very easy for Jesus to say that. Because he's not the one who suffered, we are the one. Right? Perhaps that's perhaps me, you know. You see, Jesus said, I have spoken to you these things. In me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So you see that. Romans 5:3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. You see, we glory in tribulation. Oh, in fact, there are some Christians during that time, mind you, during the time of the persecution. You know, for us Christians, I mean, when there's persecution, what we do? You run. Alright? You're hunting Christians. We all want to hide. We run. Okay? But there are some Christians, instead of running, they say, I'm a Christian. And they're willing to die. And this is bad. You know what I mean? Perhaps they got tired of this world. I'm a Christian. God, kill me. Put me to the lion's den. Eat me up. You know. And there are Christians like that which is not supposed to be done. You see. Because we need to preserve our life. Right? But we don't preserve our life by denying Christ. We preserve our life that our life can continue to be a witness to others until we are caught. And when we are caught, then we don't deny the fact that we are Christian. You see. But some of them, I guess, they got tired of running, maybe tired of trying to find food because they are poor, you know. Okay, I'm a Christian, and they're willing going to the amphitheater. Alright. Romans 8:35. Who shall suffer us from the love of Christ, or tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Yeah. For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yeah, that's what the apostle is. So that's what Paul was saying. You know, who can suffer us from the love of God? Tribulation, persecution, whatever. Suffering. Can anything separate us from the love of God? No. Right? So, we read all this, let us be able to continue in our faith. And I remember one thing, this saying, they stay true to the faith even though they are poor. They are in poverty. But yet they are rich in spirit. Now, the next thing is that the Jewish population, the Bible said here in verse 9, go back to Revelation. Alright, Revelation chapter 2, and now it says in verse 9, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jew and are not. There's a lot of these Jewish people, and they're very guilty of blasphemy. Alright? So they participate in persecuting the saints so that they themselves will be. No, they could avoid the persecution of the Romans. So they were burned and sent to the emperor. And everything that the emperor said, so that they will find favor with the Romans so that they can continue their own religious synagogue, the worship there in the synagogue. You know. Alright? Now, this, we all know that the Jews claim to be God's people. But this group, they are not. The Bible said that they are of the synagogue of Satan. Now, we know that in the synagogue people gather together to pray. Okay? To meet together to worship the Lord. But apparently this group did not. Because there are in fact a lot of we say that there are some in America, there are some kind of even in Christian circle, they have society. And you heard about it. What do you call the Templar, right? What do you call that? the Templar. You know that movie they call, what is the movie that regarding, what is the movie that, that where you have this, where they're looking for some kind of secret code about Mary Magdalene, about Jesus Christ? Oh, recently, what is it? What? Da Vinci Code. Oh, your mind is all blank.
Da Vinci.
You see, you know, that's why you in that movie you see the Da Vinci Code, you find that this, the Templar group, the Templar. Is it called Templar, right? Is it called a Templar? Yes. You know, and this is a society group, and even some believe that the evil Illuminati of some sort came from this. And we have people like the President, they have Abraham Lincoln, and the Rothschild, and all these people in America, all these belong to this cult, or this secret society. You know, and they're supposed to be Christian, they gather, whatever, they call themselves Christian, but I don't know what they worship, what kind of ritual they perform in that. You see. So this Jew, the Bible here said they said they are Jew and are not. And like Jesus in the day of Jesus Christ, the Pharisees that we are of Abraham. Abraham's our father. But Jesus said, no, you're not. You're of your father, the devil. You see. So this is what they face, these Jewish people. And we have also at that time, not just a Jew, but they are Christian themselves also, who call themselves Christian, but they are actually not Christian as well. Okay? Now, one of the earliest heresies that appear in those days, let us go on to the next verse. Fear not none of those things which thou hast suffered. Behold, the devil shall cast some into prison, that he may be tried, that he may have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Alright, in verse 9, even though it talks about this blasphemy and about false Jews, and which also represents using the Jew as a type where Christians actually exist, that there are those Christians who are actually not true Christians. Now at that time, one of the heresies that arises is a teaching called Gnosticism. You know Gnostic? You know the word Gnostic means not knowledge. Gnostic means knowledge. Gnosticism is about knowledge. And the teaching is started by a people call themselves Docetes or Docetes. Alright, they are Gnostics. And it came from the word Gnostic came from the word to see, to appear. And the teaching is this, that they call themselves Christian, but they believe that Jesus was not born and manifest in flesh. That Jesus appeared, some maybe like a theophany, or a vision, or like a hologram. That he never really suffered, he never really died. You know, so this is the teaching of the Gnostic. Jesus do not have a material body, that's what they say. But appear to have one. You know, it's just like a vision thing, or a theophany thing, you know. And so that's how that he would communicate with men. But he was not really there. So, if Jesus was not really born, then he did not really suffer or die. Apparently, isn't it? Okay? And I believe it's something like the Muslims that believe that they believe that Jesus came. But the Jesus that died on Calvary's cross was not the real Jesus. You probably know about the teaching. You see, this was not the real Jesus. So it appeared to be so that they believe that Jesus did not come in the material body. So this, of course, contrary to the earlier teaching that was passed down to Arrhenius. The true Gnostic, I mean, in the sense that we talk about true Gnostic as to this Gnostic, okay, Gnostic means, in the true sense of the word, means knowledge, to understand. But they use the word to mean to teach the way that, and by the way of teaching to say that Jesus did not have a material body. This I don't know how this word appeared to become Gnosticism. And the people who call themselves these or the Gnostics are sometimes called Docetes. Okay, now let's go to 1 John 4:1-6. 1 John 4:1-6. Believer, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So, what is spirit of error? Now, the spirit of truth is that you need to realize and have the knowledge or the noise that Jesus is come in the flesh. Even in John's time already, before the 180 ends and goes into the first century or the second century, the first century itself, during the time of John, already the Antichrist spirit was there, and the teachers, there is a group that teaches that Jesus Christ was not born of flesh. He didn't come in the flesh. And this is what is passed down to this all the years down to the days, even the days of Irenaeus. And that is the teaching of the Gnostics. Now, the very strange thing about this Gnostic, they also dwell, is very funny. They believe, of course, that we all know today, good versus evil, light versus darkness, you know, knowledge versus ignorance, spirit versus matter. And since they say, since the world is material, it leaves much room for improvement. They deny that God made it. Why they deny God made it? They say, how could a perfect God make an imperfect world? Okay, that's their theory. How could the perfect produce the imperfect? How could the infinite produce the finite? How could the spiritual produce material? And so they conclude. They say that there are 30 beings called aeons. And the word aeons, of course, comes from the word. It means the word ages, right? Aeons of time. But they emphasize the word aeon with the E as a capital F. Aeon, how are they pronounce it anyway? He said there are 30 beings called aeon. The first aeon created the second aeon, the second aeon created the third aeon, and down the line until the 30th aeon. Why? Because Jesus Christ was 30 years old when he ministered. So you are trying to hint that Jesus Christ was one of the air or something like that. Nobody really knows anyway. So you know, so it's kind of strange, but when you believe that if there are 30 aeons, and the first aeon created the second aeon, and the second aeon created the third aeon, then when would there ever be? There must be in somewhere along that creation of one aeon to the next, one of them must be infinite. I mean, you know, you take the infinite to create something finite. That way, in the end, they sort of mess up their own theory. Isn't it? If we have infinite, create infinite. There's no finite, nothing finite. If spiritual creates spiritual, there's nothing material. There's not. Because that's what their question is, that this world needs improvement. So it cannot be that perfect create an imperfection. Spiritual create material. So they tell themselves they're not. Of course, today I think that this theory, this Gnosticism, no longer exists. People come up with very strange revelation. That's why, remember, if it happened over there in this second church, it's happening right at the end time, where Paul warned us already, even with all the books that were written already by that time, you know, that Paul wrote about what happened the last day when he wrote it to Timothy in the first book of Timothy chapter 4, right? How that in the last days so many would give heed to seducing the spirit and doctrines of devils, you see. And so we see it today. Alright, so in verse 10 now, go right there again, Fear none of these things which you shall suffer. So the persecution will come. And it came upon them greatly. Fear not of those things which you shall suffer. Christianity became illegal. And do you know that in some way, in Lebanon, true Christianity is sort of illegal? Because all that which is in Lebanon are under control by the government. So, if anybody dies, according to Brother Pierre who told me, is that if he should die, or his wife should die, or any other believer that should die, they will not get buried. The body will be just lying in the mock. You understand? So the only way to get buried is that they have to get someone from an organized church to bury them. They cannot have a minister who is independent, freelance, called of God, to bury them. No. He must be a part of the organization. Either it's a Baptist, they are registered there, or a Catholic there, or the Jehovah's Witnesses. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, sort of, the truth is, I mean, you cannot have freedom of worship in a real sense. Total freedom. Over in Iran, and that's what happened. Well, you can be a Christian, but if you are a Muslim, you cannot be converted to Christianity. And if you preach Christianity in Iran, you'll be arrested and persecuted. And then your head probably will be cut off or hanged. Because it is forbidden. It's illegal. In China, it used to be under Mao Zedong, you know, communism? Right? Religion is illegal. You know. In many countries too, Bible is banned. You can't even get it in. So this, we are living in this condition, but it already happened way back. So at that time, Christianity is already illegal in the Roman Empire. And so people are being taken, thrown into the prison, and faced death if they refuse to renounce God and the Bible, and turn to worship the emperor. Huh? So, what we see in the Bible right here now, when the persecution came, the Bible here said, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Well, many did. Some of you. A whole lot. Not just some, a few only. Huh? A whole lot. But there are a lot of Christians out there in other places beyond Smyrna. But they're all. But the Roman Empire covers the whole area already, right? Covers the whole of Europe at that time. So in many parts of Europe, many Christians were taken and put in prison. Not talking about Smyrna in itself, but the whole age. But of course, we can see that Christians ran into caves to hide. Remember? Huh? Yes. And it grew worse in the dark ages. They will hide in the caves, in catacombs, as we all, those of you who have been to Rome, you will see it. Okay. But those who were taken, they faced not only just imprisonment, death. And it says here, that he may be tried. So each of them, those Christians will be tried. Alright? Not only suffering, you know, without food, no property, cannot buy, no work, but thrown into prison or put to death. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. These 10 days are 10 years. It is a period around 302. At the end of the year 302, you had the emperor Diocletian. He was moved. People, some of those advisors moved him to go and pass the law, not only just to ban Christianity, but to go and take in the Christian and put them to death. So in February the following year, it was passed. So wow, the soldier went out there. Well, the Jew helps, of course, those bastard Jews, they will help. Pagans will help, and they go out there and get many Christians and put them to death. For 10 years, and that year was 302 to 312. At the end of 312, there is Why was 312? Now let us look at the chart, just as we are about to close. The main chart of the seven church age, and I want to notice, if you remember your chart. Now we have Smyrna right here. Okay, now, Rob and Frick, 170 to 312, right? But up there is 325. Okay, now, the persecution of 10 days is 10 years. 302 to 312. Okay, end of 303 when it passed in on February the following year, 303 it started. And it ended 312, 10 years altogether. Why 312? Because here we have 312 AD, Constantine embraced Christianity, making it the religion of Rome. That's what stopped it. Do you understand? That's what stopped it. Emperor Constantine, you know he wanted to go to war, and he had a vision in the night, or a dream in the night, in which he got a sign of a cross in the sky, right? In this sign, thou shalt conquer. So he had all this revelation, so-called, so he embraced Christianity, and immediately he had all the soldiers in his army take them all to the seaside, and have every one of them baptized en masse. You see, he embraced Christianity and put a stop to that persecution of Christians. But his Christianity, his faith was not in the truth. His faith was related to the church in Rome. Right? You see, it's all based on the man-made doctrine. It is on what is called the synagogue of Satan. Do you understand that? You know, now, by the time, of course, Irenaeus is already dead. You see, and of course, what we have is this age where hundreds and thousands, tens of thousands of Christians are put to death for those 10 years of persecution until Emperor Constantine embraced Christianity. Alright, so now, in Matthew 10, 32. Last verse. Alright. Matthew 10:32. Now remember that Irenaeus, being a messenger at that time, stand always for the truth. According to Brother Bram, it's the Holy Spirit that guide him to choose to pick up that messenger that has the same spirit of Paul all the way down. One that will stand for the truth, fight against, you know, the organization. And Irenaeus just did that. So he died, Irenaeus died in the year 202, 10 years, or was it 100 years before the age, went into 10 years of persecution by the Romans. And of course, throughout the whole of Europe, at that time, there were so many churches, but the church in Rome was the one that grew stronger and stronger. It has a great influence. Remember, because in the next age that we go into, Pergamus, that is where we see the power of the Roman Church comes up. And when Emperor Constantine believed and embraced Christianity, he was attached to them of the Church of Rome. Matthew 10:32. Alright. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but sword. Isn't it something terrible? Because the gospel itself is a sword. It will divide the family. Huh? When I became a Christian, my father fought against me. Because why? I brought the sword into the house. And he doesn't like that, the sword of the Lord. But fortunately, the Lord, tempered his spirit. And even though as much as he was not being a Christian, because of his experience in the past with what Christianity did to his homeland, China. And so that was it. Alright, so we need to be faithful unto that. Be faithful to where we have to pay the price for that. You know, there was a man who is called Marcus Aurelius, a Roman emperor. He was so enraged at 40 Christian men because they would not bow down and worship his image. So he commanded them to be stripped naked and to stand on a frozen lake until they are ready to renounce God. Now, just imagine in winter, these 40 Christian men stripped them naked because they refused to bow down on his image. Those 40 naked Christian men were taken out there in the frozen lake. Meet them to, well, stand there until they repent. So, well, this emperor went to sleep. In the morning, when he got up, what did he find? He found those 40 naked men frozen on the ice. These, as the Bible said, are faithful unto death. Huh? Shiver there. I turn to a piece of ice. That's it. My body is here. I'm up there. Wonderful. But if you care for your life here on this earth, Christ said, you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. So think seriously of this. Because the church of Smyrna, the age of Smyrna, was a suffering church. The age of for Christians really suffered a lot. But there are more to come as ages go on, even to this day. In the future, many Christians will have to pay for their life too. May the Lord help us, our Father in heaven. Bless the Holy Word, we thank you, Father. In order we study, Lord, in order we learn. Not only in your word, but in history of your children who set an example for us, Lord. Of the many thousands and thousands of Christians who lay down willingly their life that they may claim, O God, a crown of life, and that they will no longer be hurt by the second death. So we thank you, Father, for this promise, and may you continue to guide us and lead us, Lord. When we go through tribulation and trial, Father, help us, O Lord, to remember this. Christians, O Lord, in the past, or how much they went through to gain this crown of life. So, Father, we ask for your blessing and guiding hands, Lord, for the rest of our day, in Jesus' name, Father.